All right, we're going to get into the last of this series, Colossians. How many of you guys have been enjoying it so far? Isn't it good to get like just into a book and get some meat out of it? And there's a lot. Listen, if I really did a series on Colossians, we'd have probably been in for about 12 weeks. But I'm doing like parts of a chapter each week. And as we get into this four, and just in case someone didn't know, Paul's writing this as one of the four letters that he wrote from prison. And he was writing it to the church in Colossae that had gotten off track. And I don't want anyone to raise your hand, but how many of you know sometimes serving the Lord, it's easy to get off track. It's easy to get our focus on other things, things that problems in this world or, you know, the lure of wealth or business, whatever it is. And so he's calling that church back really to become a Jesus-centered church. Isn't that, don't you want to go to a Jesus-centered church? Right? I don't want to go to some other kind of focus and Jesus is just an additive to it. We want to live that and we want to be a part of that. So chapter 4 of Colossians, if you read it, you've got to be really good at reading names if you read all of it, because he gives a lot of shout outs to all the different friends and different people that have helped him. And the only way I can read those names is listen to it on the audio Bible. Anybody with me? It's like, I don't even know how to say that name. It is not like names today, but I don't want to focus on that part because he really gives us some good challenging verses and enough that we can apply that I really believe is going to help us. Amen? Starting out in Colossians, starting at verse 2, this is kind of turned a little wonky there. He says this, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too that God will open a door for our message." So that, I better read it right here because I'm going to have to switch. So that we can proclaim the mysteries of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer everyone. What we can learn from this particular passage, just four verses right here. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 5 verses. So right here is, and I titled the message, Live Like Jesus, but I just wanted to add it. How do we live like Jesus? How do we actually do that? Because in our world today, how many of you realize most people that have decided to live like Jesus, that how many of you know the world needs to see more of that? Amen. How many of you guys remember the WWJD bracelets? All right. What would Jesus do? Anybody ever felt conviction wearing some of those sometimes? Like you got it on and somebody cut you off in traffic and you uttered some words that Jesus would not have uttered, right? And you're like, oh, I better take this bracelet off, right? It's a challenge, right? Anybody ever say, well, I'm not Jesus? Come on, let's be honest here. It's like, well, Jesus wouldn't do that. I wonder if Jesus' brothers ever said that whenever they came up in class, right? Like, how come you don't act like more like your brother Jesus? And it's like, well, I'm not Jesus, right? How many of you know that's kind of a high bar? When you talk about that, living like, is that even possible? I mean, Jesus is perfect, and so many times we do not reach that level in our life. And as we read this passage, I really want us to look at what does it actually mean to live like Jesus, especially when we all fall short. That's what Romans says, right? We've all fallen short of the glory of his standard, right? But when you're in public places and somebody is doing something that you don't like, how many of you know, like I said a minute ago, you're not thinking thoughts like Jesus. I mean, you should be, but here's the thing. It is hard to live like Jesus in a world that is honestly fallen and broken, filled with a bunch of people, including ourselves, that are fallen and broken. So how do we do that? And I just want to challenge you, because I really believe the world needs more representatives of Jesus than ever before. Amen. Than ever before, because I really believe that the world is hungry for real truth. Amen? That the world is hungry for people that are real and not fake, not people that are just putting, you know, oh yeah, I go to church, I'm a Christian. I want to be able to say like the Apostle Paul, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. That means that I got to live that way. You know, anybody ever grow up, and my mom's probably watching and she knows it's true, so I'm going to bust her out, but she used to say this phrase all the time, do as I say, not as I do. Right? How many of you know that's not a good plan if you're a believer? Right? We've got to actually do if we're going to tell people, Right? That means I got to actually love people. I got to actually forgive. I got to begin to raise my standard a little bit. And listen, we may not be perfect, but I still want to live a life that honors Jesus. Amen. Amen. So here, I want to just say this because it might make you think about it. The greatest threat to God's kingdom are not those people that oppose it openly, the atheists or those that are like, it's those that claim to follow Christ while living as though they don't. Yeah, I'm glad I got a wooed. Nobody wooed in the first verse. Because isn't that true? Right? I don't believe that the enemy is scared of those that say, oh, I follow Jesus, I'm in love with Jesus, but they don't actually live it with their actions and their attitudes. He's like, you go ahead and keep talking about Jesus and living the way that you are. Because you're not going to draw anybody. You're going to cause people to go away. The believers in this world, I believe people in this world, like I said, are hungry. They want to see authentic Christians. They're not, oh, I go to church and I go do that and I do that and all that. They want to see people that really love Jesus, that show it in their life. And I think sometimes we overcomplicate it, but I really want to show you a simple way of how we can live our lives that will honor God. Amen? How's that sound? I don't want to be the hypocrite. Anybody ever hear, oh, I don't go to church because it's full of? Right. And I think if we're all honest, we're all hypocritical at one point or another. We believe something, but we don't always do it. I don't want to be that kind of a believer. I want to be somebody that actually practices what I talk to other people about. How many of you know the Pharisees in the New Testament, they got lambasted by Jesus, didn't they? Right? It was like, they were, oh, we're so religious. Oh, we love God. Look what Jesus says to him in Matthew 15. He says, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but guess what? Their hearts are far from me. How many of you know that's a sad commentary on anybody's life? I don't want to be the person that just honors God with my lips. I want my heart to be pointed in the right direction. And again, I want you to hear, not that I'm perfect, but I want to head in the right direction. I want to live in a way that says I want to live like Jesus in my family life, in my marriage, raising my kids, in my job. I mean, I'm a pastor, so. But how many of you know other jobs? I want to honor God. Amen. Anybody with me? Yes. Amen. So Paul shows us three things out of this passage. Like I said, I think it may challenge you. But I think it will encourage you and it will help you at the same time. So let's go back to verse 2 that I read a minute ago. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So number one, if we're going to live like Jesus, we've got to be devoted to prayer. Amen. It's not an optional thing. It's like, you know, even when the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, notice he didn't say if you pray. He says when you pray. Right? It was not like an assumed thing that it's an optional thing. And I think if the church should be known for one thing, it should be known for prayer, right? Didn't Jesus say, my house shall be a house of prayer? So it's got to be. And listen, what is prayer? It's where we get to talk to God, right? We get to have a conversation with the creator of the universe. I mean, if you begin to look at the expanse of everything, the God that created that, we have a direct line to him. Amen. We have access to him and we can communicate anytime. How many of you know God is never busy? You never get, you know, this line is busy. Or what about the things now? You know, you call something and they're like, you have 1,265,000 people ahead of you. You can hang up and we will call you back when your spot is available. Could you imagine trying to do that with God? No, God is like, he answers every time. How many of you remember the game show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? I think it's still on, right? And when you're on that, it's like they've got one of the lifelines when you don't know the answer. It's the phone a friend. And I actually have, like right here, can you imagine? Here it is, God, you called. It's like, yeah, listen, when we don't have the wisdom or the answer or the direction or whatever it is, how many of you know we've got direct access? And it's not just like, well, you've only got one lifeline. How many of you know you can use it a million times a day, right? God's never like, you again. Anybody, don't raise your hand. Anybody ever get a call from somebody and you're like, oh, them again? Come on, let's be honest, right? God never does that with you. He wants to communicate. He wants to talk to you. He wants you to reach out to him. Prayer is the lifeline for the believer. And my question is, are you using that lifeline? Do you actually use it? Paul says this in Thessalonians. He says, be joyful always. And what? Pray how? How many of you know that doesn't just mean your morning prayer if you have that time? That is vital. That's important. But you know what? Sometimes I need to talk to God at 3 p.m. Right? Sometimes I need to talk to God when I get on the road and somebody cuts me off. Right? Oh, God, you're going to have to help me with my attitude right now because it ain't great. Right? I mean, that's good English right there. I just want you to know. So sometimes you hit a situation. Maybe you go to the doctor. You get something that you, and it's like, well, I can't wait till tomorrow morning. I've got to pray how? Continually. And we have that constant connection to him that we pray. And hear me, I believe this is true. Our prayer life determines our level of dependence on God. The people that pray a lot, you know what they're demonstrating? A life that is dependent on God. God, I'm dependent on you. A person that prays little to none demonstrates a life that is dependent on their own self. Oh, I got this. I got this. I don't want, and I hear people say things like this. I don't want to bother God with this. This is just a little thing. You know what God is saying? Bother me. Bring it to me. There's nothing big or little in God's eyes. I mean, think about it. If nothing is too difficult for God, why do we think anything's a big thing? Have you ever thought about, well, I got, you know, stage 4 of this or whatever, and it's like, that's still a little thing to God. He can raise dead people to life. Right? So don't ever think in our mind something may be big. In God's mind, all of it is a snap of his finger. All he had to do to create the universe was say, let there be light. Right? And it's like, so why do you think your things are big to God? God, I'll bring the big things. No, God is saying, bring everything. And you know, that's why I love, you know, our Thursday night prayer, because I believe the people that come, they're demonstrating that, you know what, we need you. And listen, our Thursday night prayer group, it's 7 to 8 on Thursday. And I know not everybody can make it. I mean, we have different dynamics going on. But I think that that is part of the thing that defines us as a church, that we are dependent on God. Amen. We need God. We connect to God however and whatever way we can. Prayer is not just something that we kind of add on. It's something. And so I just wanted to share, our Thursday night is a dependence right there. How many of you know we even changed up the time that we pray for people on the altar? How many of you noticed that? We moved it to our worship time just because when it was at the end, people are leaving. It's kind of weird. I don't want to bother people. And so it was like, you know what? We're just going to move it because it's that important to pray for your needs. We don't want people to come in here and walk out and like, man, nobody prayed for me. Listen, all you got to do is walk up. And even if you don't do that, how many of you know you can lean over to your neighbor? Hey, can you pray for me? I'm going through this, that, and the other thing. That is that important. We also have something that we've had for years, but not everybody's been aware of it. On our website, freedomchurchcp.org, you can go in and you click the little connect button, and down will come, it's called Prayer Wall. And we have people that will send in prayer requests from who knows where. Sometimes it's anonymous. Sometimes it's people will put their name on it. And if you go to that actual site there, you'll see people's prayer request. And the cool thing about it is that you can begin to pray. And when you pray over that situation of whoever it is, there's a little button that's got little praying hands. You can click it, and it lets that person know that somebody prayed for your need. How many of you know how important that is? Right? You may be down in the dumps and all of a sudden you get something on your phone. Oh, somebody prayed for me. Right? Somebody prayed for my need. And so I want to encourage you, listen, if you got a prayer need, you can go there. But if you just want to pray for people, anybody just want to pray, I just want to pray for some people. Like, get on that wall and start praying for some people. Amen. And then we also have, which some of you are aware of, we have a prayer chain that goes through our internal thing. You can text Randy, you can text a church phone, myself, Pastor Timothy, Pastor Colleen. If you got a prayer need at any time, like, hey, I need someone to pray, I'm going through this, what we do immediately is we've got, I don't know how many people on our prayer chain, and we type it out and we send it out, and immediately people across the church are praying for your need. And so if you don't get those and you want to be able to pray for people, let us know and we will add you onto the prayer chain. So we don't just put random people on there. If somebody wants to be on it to get the prayer request, please let us know and we will add you on there. And sometimes you may not get any that week, but sometimes you maybe get 3 or 4. So we just don't know. But we want to make that accessible. So here's the thing. I would challenge you to make prayer a priority in your life. Like if you can, come on Thursday nights. And again, it's every Thursday night just about that we meet. There's a couple of times for some reason we may not. But even if you can't make it every Thursday, you can say, well, I can make it twice a month. Or I can make it once a month. I would just say, listen, I want to be in. I want to be a part of what God is doing. And one of the easiest ways, if you're like, I want to be a part, come and pray. Amen? That's not a waste of time. That is a connection with God. And I believe this, that prayer is the difference between the best that we can do and the best that God can do. I don't know about you. God can way outdo me every time. I'm not even close, right? So, like I said, not just the big things, but in everything, pray continually because I don't know about you, I continually need help. All the time. If you don't recognize you need help, let me just say you need help. Amen. And let me say, Jesus, the Son of God, the part of the Trinity, he is God. He placed prayer as a priority in his life. Throughout the Gospels, you'll see times that says Jesus often withdrew to lonely places. Why? To pray, to connect with the Father. He literally demonstrated a life of significance and dependence and relationship with the Father. He did that on a so let me just say, you are not too busy, you're not too important, you're not too wise to live a life separated from God. Like, oh, I think I got this. No, we've got to recognize our need and our dependence on him. And let me just say, I'm going to be honest with you. There are times that maybe I have stressed out more than prayed about a situation. Anybody with me? And it's like, oh, but I've been serving the Lord. Why are you still stressing out about it? And that's the exact same thing that God asked me. I'm like, oh no, this is going on. And God's like, didn't I tell you, cast your cares on me because I care for you? And it's like, sometimes we feel like we got to build up a certain amount before we take it to God. And God's like, no, bring it to me. I don't need to stress. I need to pray first. So I just want to challenge you to pray first about all the situations in your life. Like if you're here and you're single, before you go on that date, wouldn't that be a great thing to pray about it first? Yes. Like, God, is this the right thing that I need to do? If you have a business or you're going into some kind of a meeting, don't just depend on go in and say, I'm going to pray about this first. God, I want you to direct me. I want this. And I don't know, anybody ever get like an email or a text from something that was not very nice? Come on, let's see some hands here. And I've gotten those from time to time. And I'm just like, I've got a response written and it's about 10 pages long. And then I pray about it. And then I delete it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And if I don't delete it, I'm being honest with you. Sometimes I send it to my wife like, hey, can you read over this before I send it out? And then it's like the Holy Spirit sounds like my wife sometimes. Anybody? Come on, you men. And she's like, she goes, you just need to get rid of that. And I'm like, okay. So pray about it. How many of you know? Anybody ever send something out that you wish that you hadn't? Come on. Let's be honest here. It's like, or said something that you wish that you hadn't, why not pray about it first? Right? Before you have to regret it, pray about it and delete it. Amen? Here's this. What about before you listen to a doctor's report and he's like, oh, you better come in and see me. Pray about it first. Say, God, I'm going in. I don't know what the doctor's going to say, but I trust you no matter what. Why? Because we have a lifeline to the creator of the universe. Amen? And so if you want to elevate your prayer, look what else he says in this. He goes, devote yourself to prayer. Then he says, being watchful and thankful. What is he talking about right there? What is watchful? Watchful is simply this. I'm aware and I'm alert. The scripture says, be alert, right? Because the enemy is like a roaring lion going to see who he can devour. I want to be alert to what God is doing and what the enemy is attempting to do in my life. How many of you realize every situation, every problem, every difficulty, every roadblock that you and I go for, God's got a plan for that in your life. But guess what? The enemy also has a plan. And if you walk in ignorance to it, you may fall right into the trap of the enemy. And it's like, Lord, I'm going to pray, but I want to be watchful. God's purpose is to build us up, to perfect us, to make us more like him. The enemy wants to divert you any way he can. He wants to distract you. I mean, what does the scripture say? He's out to kill, steal, and destroy. Anything that he can do to get your eyes off of Jesus. And he'll come in here just like he did with Eve. Did God really say this? Did God really mean that? And we start questioning that, and we don't realize that's the voice of the enemy right there trying to mess you up. And so when I pray, I got to pray watchful. God, what are you doing, and what is the enemy attempting to do? Amen? Be aware of that. What about thankful? Thankful is I am content and grateful despite the outcome. A lot of times people don't learn thankfulness unless it's like I get what I want. Like, if God, if you give me what I want, then I'll be thankful. What would you say that to a little kid that is not thankful unless they get what they want? What would we call them? Brat. Yeah, brat. There you go. I like it. A spoiled brat. Does anybody want to be a spoiled brat in the kingdom of God? Not me. I want to be mature. And I'm just going to tell you, I am grateful for the things that God has already done in my life. And let me just say, if he has never does anything else in my life, can I tell you, I've already got eternity with him. Amen. Amen. If I get some crippling disease that takes me out and God doesn't heal me over that, let me tell you, the cross was sufficient for my life. Amen. Like I was saying in the, you know, praying earlier, you know, the stripes that he took on it, that's a benefit. Yes. But can I tell you, the real gift is salvation. The real gift is that I have eternity with him. And so how do I take my prayer to that? I've got to be watchful. I've got to be aware of what God's doing, what the enemy's doing. And I just got to live thankful. Lord God, I'm lifting this. I'm believing for miracles. But Lord, whatever happens, I'm going to be content no matter what. Amen? Amen. That's a huge place to get to. So he tells us to pray first. What is the second? Let's look on in the verse 3 and 4. He goes, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Remember, he's in prison. He's got chains on him. And he says, pray that I may proclaim it as clearly as I should. So number two is if I'm going to live like Jesus, I got to be devoted in prayer. I got to be clear in the mission that God has put me on. How many of you know, after we pray, we go out and we live on mission? Amen. It's time to go out. It's time to do. I want to be clear about it. A lot of people are like, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. My question for you is, are you living on mission, or are you living on your mission? Are you doing what you want to do? Are you looking at God? And let me just say, if your life was a movie, would it be worth watching? Would it be worth, or would the plot of your, what would the plot? And so I just wanted to have fun here. Are you guys okay with that? I have not watched all the things that I'm about to show you. So don't think, oh my gosh, our pastor. But here's the thing. Would your life movie be like Groundhog Day? Same thing every day. Get up, do the same thing. Boring. I have nothing exciting going on. I'm just going to go through and do that. Don't raise your hand on these. Maybe your life might be like the Titanic. It's a disaster. My life. People are freezing around you, right? And it's like, oh man, you know what? Everything I touch, it's going down. So let me just say, for some of you parents, maybe it's Jurassic Park, right? And your feet, here's the thing, your feet and the little things that are going to eat you eventually. So I'm just looking at my kids right over here. So let me just tell you, it could be that. It could be this one right here. Who knows what movie this is from? Inception. I knew some of you guys. If you don't know what it is, it makes no sense. So it's like this person's living a dream inside of a dream inside of a dream, and I don't get it. And maybe your life, you're like, man, that's my life. I don't know what's going on, right? It's like I'm dreaming stuff that never happens, and I don't even know if it's real or what. So here's another one. Some people are living their life like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. It's like every couple of weeks, new relationship. Nobody in here, right? But I'm talking about other people, right? And it's like, you know what? My life, it's like bounced from one situation to the next. Other people may be like this one right here, Braveheart, right? I'm going to save the world, right? I'm taking it by storm, and it's all up to me, and I got this. Come on, who's the Braveheart in here? I've got some quote. I'm not going to do it, so... The next one, I didn't put a screenshot of it up, but it's Hangover, the movie. And let me just say, it's time for some people to grow up. You're 35 years old and wondering, what in the world am I doing with my life, right? How many of you know it's time to go? So I just want to challenge you with this right here. Live life with a clear mission of what your life is actually about. Amen? Live life with a clear mission. What is my life actually about? And what is this mystery of the gospel? Paul explains it in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, this is the gospel right here. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried and he was raised on the third day. How many of you know that's the mystery of Christ right there? Amen. And let me just add this. And he's coming again. Yeah. Right? He's coming again. How many of you know he is coming? I don't know when, where, how, when, all of that. But let me tell you, you should live with expectancy that Christ is coming again. Amen. You don't want to be caught off guard. And so Paul's prayer is that, Lord, help me, help pray for me that I would live my mission. And then let me just say, when people think about your life, do they know what your mission is? Do they know what you're living? Because maybe something that you proclaimed. I personally want my life to be known that people will know why Jesus came and why you and I are here. I mean, that's not why I became a pastor. I did that because that's what God called, but my just personal life, I want people to know. And I believe that as a Christian, the message of Jesus is the mission of our life. Amen? The message of Jesus is the mission. Letting people know that this gospel, how many of you know gospel means good news? Amen? That God actually loves them in a world that says, I hate. How many of you know it's so divisive today? I mean, it's always been to an extent, and people are just so lost. They're so overcome with guilt and all of this stuff, and my desire is that they would know Jesus loves them, amen? It's a gospel, and I pray this often. Lord, help me to present it. Before I'm about to talk to somebody about the Lord, I'm like, Lord, give me the words. Give me the clarity, because sometimes I mess it up, and if you guys notice, we got our invite cards back on the chairs there. Because you may be saying, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do. Well, first of all, God will give you the words, I promise you. But these are little cheat sheets right here that you can give to somebody and say, hey, listen, I want you to know God loves you. If you have any questions about God, they can go to the website that's on the front of that. There's testimonies, there's videos, there's articles that they can read. And let me tell you, it's just a help that is there. But praying for opportunities to share. How many of you know, maybe you've never prayed for an opportunity. Maybe you just got up and you're like, oh, I got to do my stuff today. Paul is in prison and he's saying, give me some opportunities. He's saying, send some people my way and open some doors. He wasn't even praying, open the doors to this jail cell. He's like, pray that you would open doors that I could proclaim this message. I mean, how many of you, if you're in jail, you're like, oh God, like Peter, you know, shake the chains open and let us get out of there. That's not what Paul is praying. He's saying, God, give me opportunities. And I think about, let me tell you, when God begins to open doors and you're patient for him to open it, God will open that. And years ago when I was in the Army, I never stood in front of my platoon. And I'm like, I'm going to tell you guys about the gospel. I'm going to tell you about Jesus and preach. Listen, I was stationed in Hawaii. I know everybody say, oh, right. It was hard. Some people have to do the hard duty stations. I'm just saying. So we were there, but I prayed, God, give me an opportunity to share with each of these guys. They found out by the way I lived and the way I talked and the way I didn't talk that I was a Christian. But can I tell you, in that 3.5 years, God opened up opportunities for me to talk to every one of those guys. And a couple of gals that were there. And it was like, he did it in his time. I didn't have to force it. I didn't have to kick down a door. The ones that would mock me at sometimes, later on, maybe that next year or whatever, they went through a hard time and they'd come up, hey, can I talk to you privately? And it's like, yes, you can. And it was some incredible times that was there. And I believe that God will do it no matter where you're at. And listen, yes, I enlisted in the United States Army. I had a mission. I was a heavy equipment operator for a while. But let me tell you, before I ever went in, I had already enlisted in the Lord's Army. And God gave me a mission that was higher than what that was there. And so God will provide, everywhere you go, God will provide opportunities if we're listening. If you're praying for it, if you're asking God for it, and Paul is saying, give me opportunities, open the doors that I can proclaim it clearly. Can you imagine? I mean, with our church, with both services, as everybody was here, we'd probably have 150 people or so that call Freedom Church their home. Can you imagine if every one of us said, God, give me opportunities this week? Give me opportunity. How many of you think that people's lives would be changed? Amen. You begin to open those opportunities and God will do it. And that's what Paul's prayer is. Listen, and you may say, well, Pastor Scott, people just don't want to listen. People don't want to hear it anymore. I hear that all the time. Nobody wants to hear it. There are people that don't want to hear it, but can I tell you, there are some people that want to. There are some people that are looking. And if you're waiting for the perfect opportunity to tell about Jesus, can I tell you, those don't exist? All right. I just want something that's non-threatening, something that will cost me nothing. That place isn't there. I mean, Paul is praying for the opportunity. Paul preached the gospel and he ended up in jail. It's like there is no perfect opportunity. And so what I want you to understand is that a life mission that costs nothing is a life mission that's worth nothing. And when you choose to live your life like Jesus, can I tell you, it's going to cost you something? It cost Paul a lot, didn't it? It cost Jesus a lot to live like Jesus. He went to the cross. And so let me just say, it might cost you some friends. Right? It might cost you some of your time. Maybe you actually got to slow down. You're like, oh, I don't have time, Jesus. Can you imagine getting up to heaven and it's like, well, I was going to share the Lord with this person, but God, I had a schedule. You think God cares about that? No, it's like it may cost you some time. It might cost you some money as you reprioritize. Thank you. I got to say it. I got a new tongue. I'm still working it out. So your budget, putting God first and the kingdom first. Amen. Let me just say this. It may cost you holding back some of your opinions. How many of you know everybody's got an opinion, but you don't have to share your opinion every time. I thought that I did, right? I thought that was, that's why social media was created, so I could share every one of my opinions, right? No, there's going to be sacrifice. You may even lose some of your influence, but I want to tell you, whatever you sacrifice for the kingdom, it's worth it. Amen. Whatever you sacrifice, not everybody is going to be happy with you if you choose to live on mission. It's true, right? Now, I want to say, let me just say this. If everybody loves you and nobody has a problem with you, you're probably doing something wrong. Yeah. You're like, what? Like, if you haven't lost some friends on social media, okay, I'm not going there. So here's the thing. We either stand for truth or we're wishy-washy on truth. I don't want to be wishy-washy. What did Joshua say in the Old Testament? As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Well, I just want everybody to like me. Listen, Jesus was perfect and he had people that hated him. How many of you know you're in good company, right? Jesus was perfect and even some that were closest to him betrayed him. And if it happened to him, how many of you know, guess what? You're in the same club, right? Here's the reality. You're not here to win the approval of people. We're here to honor God. Amen. That's what I want to do with my life. Live in such a way that I'm going to live with the gospel mission in mind. Think about this practically. Who in your life is impacted because of the way you live? To be drawn towards Jesus. Who is being drawn closer to him? Is the world better or worse because of you? I believe it's time to live on mission. Amen. Amen. All right. I just wanted to hear that. So what's the next one? How do I live like Jesus? Devoted to prayer, living on mission. Look what he goes on to say in verse 5. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everybody. And so here it is. Number 3, live wise in action. My actions have to have wisdom based in it. That means if I'm lacking in God's wisdom, that means I don't have to respond to every situation the way the world responds. Amen? I don't have to post things on social media the way the world would post about it. I don't have to react to people's actions in the same way. I can live with wisdom. Amen? And I believe that the Bible is very clear that as a Christian, we should live with wisdom. Amen? In every area of our life. And listen, it's not... Here's sometimes people get hung up on, is it right? Is it wrong? Well, this is good for me. I can do this. There's nothing that says I can't do it. It's not really a right or wrong issue. It's like, is this a wise thing to do? I think Paul actually says everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. And so wisdom is not like, well, it's right. I can do it. I can do this and I can do that. No, I want to live with wisdom. God, is this the right thing to do? Is this going to be beneficial to me representing Jesus better? Or is it going to take that away? So he is saying that in your conversation, your actions, live with wisdom towards outsiders. Here's the reality. We live in a world that has an abundance of knowledge. How many of you know more than ever before? We got knowledge. You can Google anything, and you may or may not get the right answer, right? It just depends on what comes up. But there's an abundance of knowledge, but there's a scarcity of wisdom. Isn't that true? Knowledge is having information. How many of you know wisdom is applying that information into your life? All right? Not everybody can do that. Here's the thing. Knowledge is knowing what diet you should do. How many of you know wisdom is avoiding the donut shop every day? I know. Oh, no. Don't go there, Pastor Scott. Knowledge is building a budget, but how many of you know wisdom is making coffee at home instead of going to buy $10 coffee? I know. Just stepping on some toes right there. Knowledge. How many of you know it's knowledge that built the Titanic? Wisdom avoids the icebergs in the ocean. Don't go so fast, right? Watch out, those, what's going on ahead. There's a lot. We have a lot of knowledge. We just don't have a lot of wise people. Amen? So, like, I want to walk with wisdom into my family. I want to walk with wisdom into my workplace. If there's conflict with people in your family, your kids, whatever, I want to have godly wisdom in that. I want to say, God, give me wisdom how to deal with that situation. That's why I pray continually is there. It's like, as I need wisdom throughout the day. I don't know about you. And I believe that a person or a church that has wisdom can bring change to a world. Amen? Amen? Look what Solomon said in Proverbs 4:7. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. God, I need your wisdom. Sometimes people ask me, Pastor, how can I pray for you? Can I tell you how to pray for me? Pray that I have wisdom. Pray that God gives me wisdom, not just in pastoring, but I think with dealing with my family. There's a lot of great pastors out there and their families blown up. Pray that I have wisdom dealing with my family. I mean, thank God my kids are raised. They all love the Lord. Now it's grandkid time, right? And they're the sweetest ever, but when they get older, I want them to serve the Lord too. Amen? So give me wisdom in that. Just pray for that. Like, oh God, you know how dumb our pastor is. Give him wisdom, right? Amen? I need that. I need that. Look what it says in James. This is one of my life verses right here. If any of you lack wisdom, come on, let's be honest, right? You should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will, not might, it will be given to you. Listen, why would God, you know, you're coming to God, God, I need wisdom in this situation. I'm not sure what to do. And God's like, he thinks I'm going to answer that. He thinks I'm going to give it. No, God will give it to you. I promise you. I've proved it over and over again. I'm like, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what direction. The only catch in that getting wisdom from God is that you have to really be wanting God's wisdom and not just God's approval. Yeah. Amen. It's like sometimes people come, I need this. What can I do? Well, I don't know if that would be a good diet. Who asked you anyway, right? I'm just looking for agreement. That's not what God will give you wisdom, and you got to be able to lay down your own wisdom in order to take his. Amen. Let me just say this. The world is watching us, aren't they? We need to be devoted in prayer. We need to live out our mission and to be wise in our actions. Why? Because your life may be the only sermon somebody hears. The only church that they ever attend and the only Bible that they'll ever read. You may be the only Jesus that they ever hear. And let's display Jesus well. And yes, we're all going to fall short at times. Am I right? We're going to blow it. But guess what? I'm not pointing people to me. I'm pointing them to him. And if they're like, well, you did this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, yeah, I know I blow it sometimes. But you know who never blows it? Jesus, right? I don't know why the world thinks Christians are perfect. Have you ever wondered that? It's like, we're not. We're just trying to aim in the right direction. All right, we're just trying to go in the right direction. Let me show you how Paul ends his letter, verse 18. He says, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. And notice what he says is, remember my chains. It's kind of a weird thing. Remember, I'm in prison. And I think that he's saying that because he goes, I want you to remember the things that I've gone through in order to get this message to you. The things that I've had to endure. I don't know if you know it, Paul's life was not easy. I mean, it was easy before Christ. I mean, he had it going. He was like, he was up there. But after he gave his life to Christ, and I don't know if you remember in Acts, God told Ananias, he goes, I'm going to show him how much he must suffer for my name. And just real brief, five times he was given 39 lashes. That's 195 scars on his back in order to get the message out. Threats, stoning. He was stoned and drug out, thought he was dead. Shipwrecked three times. I'm like, once is enough, right? Three times beaten with rod, thrown in prison, wrongfully accused. And then approximately, scholars say, about a year and a half after he wrote the book of Colossians, he was executed. He didn't have it easy. And at the end, he's saying, listen, remember my chains. Why did he say that? Because there are some things that your faith is going to cost you. There's going to be some things where you'll have difficult season, and guess what? It's only your faith that's going to get you through. It's only your faith that's going to... And he's saying, listen, remember what I went through? Remember what it cost me. And then he says this. I love that, the last part. I just kind of highlighted it, moved it over. And then he says, grace be with you. Can I tell you, that's not some kind of formal ending? Grace be with you. Peace be with you. You guys have a great day. No. What is that saying there is that in your difficult seasons, it's only the grace of God that's going to get you through. Amen. The grace of God is not a license for us to sin. Oh, yeah, I'm under God's grace. I can do whatever I want. No, God's grace is a supernatural ability to live with strength beyond our natural ability, beyond our natural wisdom. I believe to live supernaturally like Jesus. Amen. Remember Paul when he was struggling with his thorn in the flesh, like, oh God, take it away. Three times he says he did it. But I love God's response. He says, my grace, can we all just say this word, is sufficient. It's sufficient, right? For my power is made perfect in weakness. And then I'm just going to jump down. And it says, for when I am weak, then I am strong because I'm under God's grace. Can I tell you, when you're the weakest, when you're struggling the most, if you will lean on the grace of God, God is going to give you the power to make it through. Amen? You're not going to be able to do it on your own. As a matter of fact, living like Jesus doesn't happen out of your own strength. I'm just going to do it. Good luck. It's because of His Spirit. And I know some of you guys may be in a tough season right now. I want to declare God's grace on you right now. Amen? May the grace of God be sufficient for you and the struggles that you're going through. Whatever it is, I don't know. But God does, and God's the one that will give you the strength. So as I challenge you in this area, let me back it up to right there, is God really speaking to you over? Am I need to be more dedicated in prayer, God? Do I need to establish a time? Let me just say yes. You need to set an appointment with God every day. And you're like, but I'm so busy. Can I tell you, you won't do what you don't schedule. You need to have that time with Him. It's vital. It's not an additive. You need to live your life clear in mission. And I need wisdom and action. Maybe you're saying, Pastor, I need all three of those in abundance. I know my hand's up for that. I need all three of those. Can I have everybody stand? And I want to pray. If you need more in that area, I just want to lift that up to you, and then we're gonna close in a second. But I want to pray another prayer after that. But Lord, I just pray right now that you would help us, Lord. Help us to be more devoted in prayer, Lord. Let us realize our connection with you is vital. It's important. It's imperative, Lord God, that we connect with you on a regular basis, Lord. And so, Father, where we've kind of dropped the ball, Lord, there is no guilt. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. But, Lord, help us start out this week, Lord God, spending time, even if it's 10 minutes, Lord God, spending time with you. Lord, let us schedule that time and begin to come into your presence. Lord, help us to live clear in the mission that you've called us to do. Lord, help us to step out of the areas that are comfort, Lord, and Lord, not knowing what we're going to say, and Lord, just begin to walk in boldness, Lord. The early church prayed for boldness to be able to speak your word. And Father, let us walk in wisdom. Lord, we need godly wisdom. I don't want to depend on my own understanding, but Lord, in all of my ways, I want to acknowledge you. Lord, in there, I know you will direct my path. So Father, we declare that right now. And I also just want to pray, listen, if you feel like maybe you've never made a commitment to Christ or you've walked from him and you want to make a fresh start with him, listen, I want to pray for you as well. So as everybody's head is bowed, eyes are closed, and you say, Pastor, I just want to know who I'm praying for. Pastor, I want to make a fresh start and a fresh commitment to him, whether it's new or a recommitment. Can you just raise your hand and then you can put them down? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I saw several hands. Can we just say this prayer together? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. I know that I've blown it. I've messed up and made some bad choices. But you went to the cross to pay for every one of those. And you love me. I surrender my life to you today. I want to live my life like Jesus from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you said that and you meant it, can I tell you, from this day forward, let's live like him. Amen. Pastor Timothy is going to close us in a song, and then you will be dismissed.
Worthy of every song you'd ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.